My name is Thaddeus Eugene Saheed Raul, but most people just call me Thad, and on Instagram and Facebook it's Thad Saheed, and or Thad and Company, because that's my band name. And pretty much the type of music that I do would be considered alternative soul music. So it's not like traditional soul music, it's kind of alt soul. And what that really means is the rhythm and the melody line would mostly be like soul inspired, but the instrumentation would be a little more different as far as not traditional instruments. You know, we're using a lot of plug-ins, a lot of razzle-dazzle.
Okay. I'm glad I didn't even try to guess, because I didn't know that
alternative soul
was a genre.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people call it neo-soul, alternative soul. If you think of artists kind of like Lauryn Hill, Erykah Badu, D'Angelo, Nick Hakim, if you're familiar with him. I think Solange, Beyonce's little sister.
Oh, cool. Nice.
So it's a niche. It's definitely a niche. But
so how long have you been doing that gig? Is that Thad and Company?
That's Thad and Company.
Okay, sure. So how long have you been doing that?
Officially, we've been a band. Thad and Company's been a band since 2000. When I moved back to Florence, 2014.
Nice.
So when I moved back to Florence, I started Thad and Company. And we didn't release anything until 2018, which has only been 2 years, but we released two things, so it seems longer. Mm-hmm. But released our first single in 2018, and 2019 I released the first EP, which is Antisocial Eclectic Part 1. And yeah, from there we just been.
That's awesome. So do y'all like tour or just work on like recording projects or what?
At first, it was all touring. Like we didn't have a discography, so you know, we just kind of just like whoever needed a band. Like we did a lot of weddings, a lot of parties, or a lot of just like frat stuff, university stuff.
Cool.
Because I was at school at the time, of course. Mm. So it was easy to get that plug in.
Yeah, totally.
But after that. Since we started like having stuff out, we've been doing mostly just our own stuff, and yeah, that's how we've been kicking it.
Nice. So like who all's in the band, or like how many people do y'all have, or what kind of instrumentation?
Well, I play keys. We also have a synth player, Darian, and a drummer, Malik Adams, and we have a guitar player, Aaron Stapler. Was first our guitar player, he moved, so he only comes back when we have practice and stuff. And Jasmine Cunningham plays the bass, so it's a full band.
Nice.
It's a full band, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome. So tell me, I do want to know a little bit about your origin story.
Cool.
And like especially like centered around music, but just in general, because I know you do the restaurant thing as well.
Facts.
And it's all kind of tied together to some degree, I guess. So tell me a little bit about just your origin story and kind of your history.
Well, a funny story just to start off with is the first night that I opened the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
We had just got done playing a gig. That was like our, like, because I was so broke. And we had just got our license to open. It was a Friday. And I was like, I need to open up as quick as possible. And nobody knows that I'm right here. So we had a gig that night. And I was like, I'm going to announce that the restaurant is opening after the gig. And when I say, yeah, that as soon as we got done, I was like, we're opening up at 11, gonna be open till 3 a.m.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
I would have showed up in there that night.
Oh, man, it was packed. It was packed because the gig was packed. It was at UNA's main room, and it was a fraternity conference going on, and
dang.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy that first night because I wasn't expecting that many people to show up.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really have a staff. It was just kind of like my mom taking orders and me cooking.
Oh, man.
But we got it done. Man, it was crazy, though. It was crazy. I think my mom still has, like, pictures of that night and, you know, like, inside the restaurant.
That's nice.
And see how, like, tight it was in there and the line because we stayed open late. So people were, like, getting drinks or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Coming to get food. So that was hilarious.
That's killer. So do y'all open that late now, or is that kind of just like a one-time thing?
We opened up to 3 a.m. till for like 3 or 4 months after I opened.
Uh-huh.
But I was dying.
Yeah.
I could probably get away with it now because I'm more like grounded now and I know like how the staff is and how it could work. But back then, I was working every shift.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like me in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Me in the kitchen and somebody working in front. And then.
That's awesome.
And I was staying from like 9 in the morning till 3 in the morning. And I was doing that every Friday and Saturday the first 3 months we were open. And I was tired. So I stopped doing that.
Yeah. Cool. So, okay. I love that story. Tell me about how you kind of got into music and cooking and I know you've kind of left the Shoals and then come back.
Yeah.
Can you kind of tell me a little bit about that too?
Yeah. I think my origin with music kind of came organically because my dad plays the keyboard. He played in church. My mom sung in the choir and was over the choir, like director, whatever. And, so it just came naturally for me to like play and sing or whatever. And with the cooking thing, I played at my grandma's church when I got old enough because my dad's church would not let me play the piano at their church. But my grandma didn't have a piano player at their church, or organ player. They had an organ. So I had to play the organ at their church and they would let me get away with it, even though if I didn't know what I was doing until uh-huh. I could pick it up. So,
where was this?
This was at New Rock Church of God in Christ. That was the name of my grandma's church, and my dad's church was St. John Primitive Baptist Church. It's still in, like in the county area. That's where my dad was from. And yeah, so that was kind of like my starting up, learning how to play the piano or whatever, and singing. And I did that all the way up till high school. And when I got out of high school, I went to the military.
Oh, wow.
Right. It was at the blue. I just went because one of my friends said they were going. And I didn't really have a plan, like, after college. And my mom was like, do not go to the military. But I did what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the military. I stayed in. Went to training at Fort McClendon and Missouri. And then I stayed in St. Louis for a minute, working. And then I moved to Nashville and went to school. And
where'd you go in Nashville?
I went to Tennessee State University for my first year. And then I went to Vanderbilt because they didn't have a military science program at Tennessee State. And I always had to take all my classes at Vanderbilt anyway. So I just tried to pull that transfer card. But Vanderbilt was super hard and expensive. So my parents were like, and then I was working. I was working at a place called Jazz and Jokes in Nashville. It used to be downtown.
Huh.
And it was kind of like a comedy bar and like a jazz place or whatever.
What did you do there?
Bartend.
Nice.
And I did play house sometime, like with the house band, if the other pianists didn't make it. And I was playing at a church in Nashville, too. And my mom was like, you're going to have to come home because you're doing too much and your grades are not looking too good. So I came back home and finished up at UNA. And then graduated from UNA and was a teacher. And then I stopped teaching. And I went to New Orleans for probably about 2 months and did my little cooking thing, and then came back and had soul full time.
Wow. How was your 2 months in New Orleans?
Lovely. Yeah. I love New Orleans. I really would like to probably move there again, but I probably shouldn't because I know it wouldn't end well. But man, there's no place in the world like that place. Mm-hmm. Like music-wise, for a musician to go there, it's just like you see real, real musicians. And I'm not saying you don't see them around here, but it's a different type of music. I go around here, it's gonna be mostly country or like indie, you know, mm-hmm. acoustic style music or hard country. But there, it was just like a plethora of things, like things that we don't have here as much. And that was really one of the reasons why I started the band, kind of like when I started the restaurant, because it was missing something. I can't name too many soul bands or musicians around this area anymore. You know, that's what they were predominantly known for a minute. But, yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, how do you feel like you and the kind of music you want to make fits into like the canon of what the Shoals is kind of known for, like, and you know, it's soul music, you know, predominantly.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of that now. There's not a lot of soul music in general now. I don't think. I wish there was, but like, how do you fit into that? Do you take any inspiration from like the old school stuff that happened here or whatever?
Yes and no. My piano teacher when I was growing up was Harvey Thompson Jr. And you know, his dad played trumpet for, you know, the Southern soul sound. What was it called? Shoals soul band, whatever.
Yeah, Muscle Shoals Horns.
Muscle Shoals Horns.
Yeah.
That whole little deal. And he's probably like the only jazz musician player that I know here, Harvey Thompson Jr., that taught me how to play. Which is kind of sad because, especially Florence, W.C. Handy, you know, the architect of blues, which is the type of blues that he played, was more closer to jazz than actual blues that we know it today. And so I feel like it's got a presence here, but I don't think it's really been like pushed. When I just think about music, man, I just think about what feels good, what sounds good. Soul music is just all about a feeling anyway. It's about how music gonna, how can I put it into words? It's just more of a way to do something other than a particular styling. Because you can have country music and it has soul to it. Like, and our soul is just the feeling. Like, you can feel it a little bit more as far as, like, vocally adding a little growl of, oh yeah, like, the stuff like that. So, I don't know. I definitely look back at old stuff, obviously, because the restaurant, nothing but old LPs. Mm-hmm. So I definitely listen to old school soul music. I listen to a lot of jazz music. So I guess I do. Like, long conversation, but yeah, I guess I do kind of like go back from the old school type of soul sound that was from here. I listen to that.
Nice.
I'm inspired by that.
Would you like to see more soul, come back around, especially, like, these parts?
Yes, yes. And, I mean, soul music has changed. R&B music has changed in general. Which, we live in Alabama, but it was a point in time in history where Black music and white music, they could be singing the same song, but it was considered R&B, and this was considered popular music. So it still exists, but it's still in the vein of, like, you got to be very in tune with just, like, predominantly Black music to even, like, hear the style or the soul these days. So, yeah.
Hmm. That's cool. What's it like being a black musician in the Shoals?
Now, I'm guessing it's the, I mean, if you're in the lead, like I play the piano for a lot of bands. I play for rock bands, I play for whatever, country. I play so many types of music around here. So being a musician in general, I guess it's pretty easy. But when you're trying to like lead with a genre type that's not, I don't know, geographically it's not. Because even if you look at the stuff in the 70s, 60s, and 70s that was made here, who was it reaching mainly? It wasn't this geographic of people.
Mm-hmm.
So in this geographic, like this place where we are, Florence, Alabama, is not I can understand why my style of music wouldn't be as prevalent to like the culture here.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So, do you collaborate with other musicians, like in other genres and stuff around here?
For sure.
Cool. What's that like? And who are you working with?
I work with a lot of people. When I first started, even singing, Dylan Hodges was probably one of my closest friends back then.
Oh, that's
then.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Like in high school, and I would sing, you know, he's all, back then it was all folk, bluegrassy type stuff, and I would sing with him. And I mean, you can incorporate things. Like, I love meshing stuff together. Like, the stuff he does now is just cool because he's mixing bluegrass with like pop, hip hop type stuff. So, like, you can make your own lane, and you know, so there's no excuse. And we're popular amongst our like type of people. So it's like my demographic, my age, around my age. I have a following, but it's not gonna be as wide. Like, I definitely have to go outside of this region to like do something, which isn't the case for everybody around here.
Sure. I think so. Where are you popular?
Nowhere. Honestly, I do this thing on Instagram every week, and I see who streamed my songs the most.
Uh-huh.
And what parts, and it and I put it on, and I think the places where I've got the most streams for the week or whatever. And last week it was Montezuma. I had the most streams in Montezuma. And then my second one was Montgomery.
Where's Montezuma?
I don't know. I should have Googled it. I put it on.
Are we talking like another country here?
I have no idea. I don't even know. I don't even know where my phone is, so I can like Google where it is and show you the picture.
That's funny.
But it's hilarious. It was like Montezuma, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then it was Montgomery, and then Florence, and then I had the most popular, I would say Huntsville area, Huntsville, Nashville.
Nice.
That's where I get most of my gathering of people who are kind of like-minded and doing what I do, especially my music type.
That's awesome. So how much of what you do was informed by the church? Like, we're sitting in a church right now. You play keys at this church. What's the church called?
The Worship Church.
The Worship Church. So how much of like what you do is like informed by that or by your upbringing in the church, you think?
Without the church, I probably wouldn't be a musician because my dad didn't play an instrument. Well, his dad played the guitar, but my dad didn't play an instrument until the church needed a piano player. So he taught himself to play the piano.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he taught himself to play the piano, and, without him being like learning to play the piano, I doubt that I would have ever even found interest in it. So the church would probably be the main reason why music is like such a thing for me now, because it's such a huge thing, especially growing up in a predominantly black church. That's that's the whole service. You know, they preach for 30 minutes, but we singing the rest of the time. We singing for the rest of the time. So it's like...
Yeah. It seems like the church is like almost like a training ground for a lot of people. Like...
Yeah.
Like... I don't know. Like, you, it doesn't matter if you're good as long... You just do it. You know, is what it seems like.
Yeah, I mean...
And then you get good.
You get good.
Because you're doing it all
so
the time.
So much.
Yeah.
You get... Definitely. I know when I first started... like learning how to play, I didn't know anything, but they would let me just play, and I would, like, it trains your ear. When people just start singing, they do a lot of congregational songs where people just stand up and they just sing. So if people start singing, and then you'd be like, oh, this is the key right here. And then you'd be like, we in the key, so we can feel it. We can feel it now. And then you just pick it up from there, man. And that's definitely a training ground. Yeah, if you want to get good at something, repetition is always the key. That's in everything.
Hmm. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of crossover between, like, soul music and, like, the church or gospel or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, soul music is gospel music without talking about God. Honestly, that's how soul music really is. It's just, because one thing you can say about gospel music, it makes you feel a certain way. Like, it makes you feel good. Like, you feel at ease, peaceful when you listen to gospel music. You feel the same way when you listen to soul music. You can't listen to a James Brown record, which he's more funk soul, but you can't listen to that and just be like, and just sit there and be like disapproving. You gonna move. You can't listen to a Stevie Wonder record and just be like uninterested. It's like something in your body is gonna like move, act some type of way. Honestly.
Yes.
Honestly.
I love it. Gotta go to my questions and remember what I usually just wing it, but then one day I was like, I need to write some stuff down. And so it's kind of nice.
I don't know, I'm sorry I'd be rambling.
No, this is exactly what I want. Tell me about your creative process. So, like, when you go to write a song or whatever, like, what's that like?
I sit down at the piano most of the time. Most of the time, I usually get a melody line in my head, and I record it on a voice memo on my phone. And this is how it's been like for the past couple of years, at least. And I'll get a voice memo on my phone, and it'll just usually be a melody line. And then I'll try to put words to it. Most likely, I'll come here and do this, and whatever key I was singing in the car, I'll just try to find it. Find what key I was singing in, and then I put chords under it and see if it'll build from there. Mm. So I wish I could find my phone so I could give you like a real. I don't know what I did with my phone.
Maybe you can send me some stuff. That's awesome, man. So tell me about this space specifically, because when I asked you to do this project, you know, a lot of times we try to get into more of like people's creative spaces or hidden spaces, just spaces that are not like performance space or whatever. And you suggest we come here, which is the church where you play. And tell me about this space and what it's like for you. What it means to you and what you get out of it or whatever.
Cool. Well, first of all, I stay in an apartment. So I don't want to be super loud. And I have a key. I've always had a key to the church. Like any church I ever played at, I always get a key because, you know, I usually have my instrument. I have to go back and forth because we tour, so I need my stuff. And so I usually just come here because no one's ever here. And I can be as loud as I want to. I can play what I want to. And feel no remorse and won't get no apartment supervisor. Like, getting on to me or anything. So, and of course, the church is just like I just feel free here. Like, free. Like, we can have a conversation. Somebody could walk in and we can continue our conversation and it wouldn't. It's just like total freedom when I come here.
So, does the band, like,
the whole band plays here.
The band plays here too?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What do they think about coming to the church to practice?
We used to. All of us are church musicians.
That's awesome.
All of us are church musicians. We all play for numerous churches. So we all usually play for more than one church. I think this is the first time I've played for one church only, like, my whole life. Because it's always been two. Like, I lead a service, I go to another service, lead a service, go to another service. But we're all used to just, like, plugging in. Like, where else will we jam at? Mm-hmm. Where else will we jam at?
So when you're playing at the church, if you played all these different places, like, are you having to improv a lot, you think? Or do you know what's coming?
When you say having to improv, you talking about like line up?
Or yeah, just like improvise, or just like do people throw you curveballs and you just gotta like roll with it, like when you're playing?
Well, we practice. Of course, we rehearse.
Okay.
We rehearse because most people have, like, we have a choir and a praise team and all that type of stuff. And so we'll practice normally once a week. But if you go to, like, an older church where they don't practice, yeah, you just gotta play it by ear.
Gotcha.
And hopefully it'll end up good. Like, that's how it was in my grandma's church. They didn't rehearse. They were just, like, bust out singing and you come in correctly.
Oh man, that's scary. Wow, that's cool. Alright, let me see here. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to ask you about. Yeah, so what do you think are the positives and negatives for you of being a musician here in the Shoals?
Positive is my family's here. My family's here. My musicians here. Of course, it's a strong history of music here, and there's a strong sense of community here. So, if I wanted a musician, I know a thousand musicians here. Also positives is I don't think, especially the way how we record and what we do, it's so many recording spaces. Like, so anytime we want to record, it's just like a good amount of recording spaces you could go to. You know, you got Fame, you got Most Show Sound, you got Single Lock, you got Noise Block, you got so many places you can go and record.
Have you gone to some of those places?
I've gone to all those places.
That's awesome.
I've gone to all those places and recorded before. And so that's and they're easily accessible to book and get and for recording going, as far as recording goes. And negatives, I would be just like, not, it's not genre specifically, it's not our niche isn't here. Like, it's people around my age. Like, when we have shows here, we have a pretty nice turnout, but it's usually just because ain't nothing else to do to do around here. And because a lot of people who come to our shows, they usually just come and then they'd be like, oh, y'all actually okay. That was fun.
Cool. So the Shoals, as far as music is concerned, is largely known for like the recording legacy.
Yes.
Do you think, like, what do you think it'll look like in like 20 or 30 years? Like, do you think the recording legacy, because I know music's like changing a lot, and a lot of people are like, can do their own thing, whereas that's, like, back in the 60s or whatever, you couldn't do that.
No.
So, like, what do you think, like, there'll still be, like, a strong musical, like, legacy here in, like, 20, 30 years?
I think Florence, especially the Shoals area, but Florence specifically, is growing.
musically, because we're getting bigger. We're getting bigger, and what we've always been known for is music. And the only thing we've been lacking is venues. But I think in 20 years, we're going to have those venues, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel like we're growing. I think we're going to be just as prevalent or significant as, like, Nashville, honestly, because we got so many studios around here, and so many good musicians that live here,
mm-hmm.
like, or from here, or from this area, and so many people who come in just to be in this area to record. So I feel like it's just gonna grow, because, you know, we're here, and we don't know the significance that this place has, like, amongst musicians outside of here. Like, I know it's crazy how many, like, great musicians come here just to record, or just to stay a week here. Like, that doesn't happen in every town.
That's cool.
It doesn't happen in every town, every city. Like, what was it, last year, Steven Tyler coming to stay for a minute. Mm-hmm. Then you got, like, Brittany Howard's from here. And then you got, like, Alicia Keys coming down here to record. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that they would come to this small area out of everywhere else in the world. And it's a reason for it. It's a reason for it.
That's cool. What do you think about the local, like, hip hop scene?
Well, what hip hop scene? What hip hop scene? I don't. Honestly, I can't. I don't know if you remember. I got a friend named Trans Lee, and he's from Huntsville. He went to school at UNA. He's probably the most well known rapper that came from around this area.
What's his name?
Trans Lee.
Is he in Huntsville still?
I think he lives in Atlanta now, but that's just because he signed to a label in Atlanta. But yeah, so it's just like, I don't know. The hip hop scene is so different, because if I talk about soul music and I talk about hip hop, they kind of go together, because sure. One stems from the other. Without, like, I think James Brown was the first rapper, because, you know, he didn't really sing. He just, give it away. Like, it was so, like, up there. So, I think it's lacking, if you want my opinion on it. I think it's plenty of art and plenty of talent, but they're unrecognized because we don't have a space. You couldn't name a space where you want to go see a hip-hop show.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a specific venue for that, for black music in general around the show's area. There's not a venue for black musicians,
yeah,
and black music. I mean, and you can argue that it would be like, well, you can go to any venue. Well, it's limited around here because you only have I mean, 116 was available. Like, everybody could book there, but it's not there anymore. You only got, like, Flo Bama on the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have their specific audience. So, you know, the hip-hop scene, soul scene, like, all wrapped in the way, you don't have a venue that really caters to that audience. But I feel like that's going to change here pretty drastically.
Do you think there's, like, talented, do you think the talent's there to, like...
I know so many talented people.
As far as the soul hip-hop genre?
So many. And I was talking to one of my friends the other day. I have a good friend who was on, he was on The Voice, and we do plenty of shows together. His name was Wade Brown. He's on CeeLo Green's team in, like, season 2, season 3. And, you know, after you leave The Voice, most people who leave The Voice is, they usually do pop music. And or acoustic stuff. If they're indie, like Jordy Searcy.
Mm-hmm.
Love Jordy. And
was he on there?
Yeah, he was on The Voice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's how he got his little break.
Sweet.
But my friend Wade had a pretty different kind of take with it, because he does soul music. And he's from Huntsville, and he didn't leave Huntsville. See, Jordy went to Nashville and was smart, but he stayed in Huntsville, and that's kind of how he did never, like, flourish, because people knew who he was, you know, talented guy, could go out anywhere, but if you don't have I think it's about where you are. A lot of artists and musicians have to travel outside of this area to be successful in those kind of like genres, just to get opportunities, because everything's pretty on lock. Same people have been had it on lock for a long time in this mm-hmm. area. You know, you go to the same bars, go to the same whatever parties or whatever, it's the same bands usually. Nobody knew nothing different. So the same people had it on lock for a long time. But I feel like, yeah, you would definitely have to get away, because I think the musicianship is here. There's great artists, great lyricism going on. I just feel like you just got to move away. Get away and do it. I know that's been one of my things. I was like, because I know I had talked about moving plenty of times. But I also have a business here, and I also don't really do music just for, like, notoriety. I do it because I enjoy it. Like, I wouldn't be able to survive if I didn't, like sing and get on people's nerves. Like, that would be... So, I guess it'll be your motivation. Like, what do you want out of it?
Yeah.
It's not sustaining my life, but for people whose life is sustained, as far as, like, everyday living, yeah, I would suggest you go find somewhere where you can be busy all the time. For sure.
Cool. Well, thank you. No, I think that is very truthful. I think there's... Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah.
I hope that changes.
For sure. And I mean... It ain't saying anything bad about the area. It's just.
I think a lot of that just has to do with volume. Yeah, right? They're just saying as many people here.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And the people who normally are booked at certain venues or places, they're usually tied in. It's such a small community, like with the owner or true. Like the manager or whatever. Like it's all clicked up, so it's just like. You can't be mad at it.
Right.
There's no sense of being mad at it.
Everybody needs a space, though.
Yeah, everybody definitely needs a space. And I wish we did have more places where, like, space was available for different types of music. Because outside of a couple of genres, you ain't going to get that many types of music here.
It's a true statement. Yes, sir. Cool. All right, well, we better...